from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Kelly on WVON AM 1690.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group. Of course, WVON on a wonderful day today, Saturday, February 16th. We are on iHeartRadio. All you need to do is download the app to your smartphone or tablet and take us with you wherever. You can also go to WVON.com. And, of course, you can call us direct at 773-591-1690. You can get social at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. America's Heroes Group is proudly sponsored by attorney Steve Seidman of Seidman, Margolis, and Fairman, LLP, 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Toll-free number is 888-837-3275. The office is 312-781-1977. And we have our purpose is to engage, connect, empower, and transform. We speak truth to power by engaging, connecting, empowering, and transforming the lives of veterans, active and retired, along with their family members through information, resources, and referrals. And we are going to do a little something different today, which is so fitting because this is Black History Month. I am the host, Cliff Kelly. Our web's social media producer, Manny Corzari, is here. Hey, Manny. Our executive producer, Glenda Smith, is here somewhere.
Doing her busy work.
Doing her busy work, that's right. And which is great to have her. And our panelist today, Sean Claiborne. Sean, how are you?
Doing great, Cliff.
Good to see you. And also someone you will hear from in just a moment. Is our researcher, Claude Fields. Claude, how are you today?
Just great, Cliff. Just
good,
great.
good. Thank you all. And as I said, in celebrating Black History Month, one of the things that a lot of people don't know about and should know more about is the Buffalo Soldiers and a number of other black units. And we are so pleased to have Claude because he is a researcher of military history, and he's with the American Heroes Group Community Outreach. And we want to talk a little bit about the history of what's called the Buffalo Soldier. Claude, would you go right ahead?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the origin of the Buffalo Soldier. 153 years ago, the members of the 10th Cavalry Regiment of the U.S. Army formed on September 21st, 1866, at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Now, the nickname Buffalo Soldiers was given to the Black Cavalry unit by Native American tribes who fought against them in the Indian Wars. And these Indian tribes, they thought that African Americans' hair felt and looked like a buffalo's pelt. The nickname was embraced by the troops who knew of the buffalo's fierce bravery and fighting spirit.
That's great.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's very good. Okay, so we know the name of it. Do you give us some background as to what these units did?
Yes. The Buffalo Soldiers, again, their purpose, they were established by Congress as the first peacetime all-black regiment in the regular U.S. Army. Mm. Their relevance, while enduring unimaginable hardships and racial prejudice, the Buffalo Soldiers proved to be confident soldiers and an invaluable source to the U.S. Army. Their regiment spent 25 years fighting the Indian Wars and mapping unexplored lands and opening the western United States for settlement.
And what was the major reason that they formed this, although there was no war at the time?
Well, there was the fact that the U.S. was seeking to expand in the West, and they needed a unit competent enough, which they proved they were. They were competent soldiers mm-hmm. at mapping and taking on the Indian tribes in tribal warfare in the West.
That's interesting. What else do we need to know?
Well, a little more background about the Buffalo Soldiers. They did start 153 years ago. As a unit, they existed from 1866 to 1948, over that period of time. Mm-hmm. And because they were, in the beginning, a separate unit, Congress saw fit to incorporate them into the regular U.S. Army, and that was the 10th Cavalry.
Hmm. Yep. They were separate.
Yes, they were. They started out separate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. How were they received within the regular Army? Were the Buffalo Soldiers embraced by the Army?
Not at first.
Okay. And then what was that journey like?
I would say they were only embraced after, as it says, they proved their mettle as soldiers. Mm-hmm. They were segregated. They didn't always have what they needed. They weren't paid properly. Mm. That was evident even during the Civil War. Mm. They weren't paid equally, didn't have the same uniform rations or benefits, mm-hmm. but they performed. Mm-hmm. They proved themselves to be professional soldiers, and to their foes, the Indian tribes, they proved to be a formidable foe.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wow. So you wonder sometimes, with the discrimination and the backdrop of slavery and what happened after slavery, after the Civil War, when the Buffalo Soldiers were formed,
right.
What would motivate, these soldiers to actually find the gumption to stand up for a nation that didn't quite stand up for them?
Freedom. Freedom. I'd say above all else, freedom.
Well, they would have had freedom anyway after the war.
That's true.
I think that's a good question. I hadn't even thought of it.
Yeah. But these were inspired men.
Mm-hmm.
They were. In spite of what they faced, mm-hmm. they realized themselves, I'm a man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And they proved it.
And what a lot of the research, like we talked about earlier, you found that the Buffalo Soldiers oftentimes were more revered than some of the most decorated mainstream white cavalry units.
Yes,
you had cavalry units, you had infantry units in the Buffalo Soldiers. People don't realize, but these guys went out and took some of the toughest duties, some of the toughest missions, and performed when nobody else wanted these jobs, you know?
Yeah, that's a very interesting situation. Of course, we're talking about that, but what they, at that time we were talking, the officers were not of color.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, they had black soldiers but white officers.
For a little contemporary context, people could probably take a look at the Hollywood-produced movie with a Woody Strode called Sergeant Rutledge.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo Soldier, despite what he went through, he proved himself to be an honorable soldier.
Mm-hmm.
The man was a soldier. He knew his duty. His men respected him. The other officers, even the white officers, respected him.
Mm. That's interesting you brought that film up because people always point to the movie Glory with Denzel Washington and Matthew Broderick. Now, you've seen that movie. I know we talked about this. Is that movie historically accurate in your eyes? I know there's a lot of controversy about that.
Well, you could probably go back and forth about the 54th Massachusetts from here to Sunday and probably come up with 9 different stories.
Mm-hmm.
The basics of what our troops went through in fighting for a nation that didn't see us as human beings is nothing short of exemplary, miraculous for what they faced and what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to look at the fact that they were thrown into battles almost like cannon fodder.
Mm.
And most times they knew it. They knew the odds they were up against, but they were still willing to fight.
Mm-hmm. So basically being the first charge of a onslaught, guns and cannons coming your way.
Right.
Send the black soldiers in first and see if they make it. More than likely, they might get slaughtered. But then after that, then send the regular cavalry, as they would call it.
Right, to mop up.
To mop up.
Yeah.
So at that time, there was no draft.
No.
Yeah, so these are people who were going to go in. Some folks who had enslaved them was going to be their officers and tell them, charge that hill. I don't know. I'm not sure we ought to be congratulating them or wondering. Whew, man. Let's take a call at 591-1690. This is Black History Month. That's what we said. Let's go to Carl. Carl, thank you for calling WVON America's Heroes Group. Carl, are you there?
How you doing?
Fine, Carl.
I want to ask your guests, are they familiar with Bass Reeves?
I've heard the name. Right now I can't put him with a unit or an action.
I can barely hear you guys.
No, I said I've heard the name before, but right now I can't put his name with a unit or an action. Do you have some information?
Yeah, Bass Reeves was the person that was supposed to be like the Lone Ranger, but they made him into a black character. Oh, I'm sorry, a white character, I guess, for
Okay. I understand who you're talking about, but we're talking about military personnel right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about
a law enforcement person.
Wasn't he a Buffalo Soldier?
Pardon?
Not that I know of.
Okay. What was your statement? I'm sorry, Carl. I missed the last thing you said.
I said, wasn't Bass Reeves a Buffalo Soldier?
Oh, yeah. That I don't know.
I believe the person you're talking about was a law enforcement officer. And his whole history got whitewashed.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I got
appreciate it. You know, we did a film here. The WVON has sponsored films in the past that were always educational. Mm-hmm. And we did one on the Buffalo Soldiers. And I'll never forget because we would have it in the theater, and one of the hosts here at the station would run questions afterwards. And I remember this young man getting up. I happened to be the host on this particular film and saying, well, you know, why are we doing this? I never heard of the Buffalo Soldiers.
Mm.
And I couldn't say anything other. Why are you so proud of your ignorance?
Right.
You know, here, this is history.
Mm-hmm.
Film was great, you know, about the Buffalo Soldiers. If you don't know, yeah, a lot of people don't.
Right.
A lot of things you don't know that you should know, but mm-hmm. particularly folks who have done these sort of things. And I believe that was during Black History Month, too. I'm not sure, but this is a good time to do this, for sure. Let's take another caller. Marjorie, hi. You're on the Talk of Chicago, 1690, America's Heroes Group.
Oh, thank you, and thank you, men and women, for your service to our country. Thank you.
Thank you, Marjorie.
You're welcome. And I also think the Buffalo Soldiers, didn't Teddy Roosevelt send them to the island of Cuba to help them when they were trying to obtain their independence from Spain?
That's correct.
Weren't they sent over there and helped out and fought bravely?
You're talking about the charge on San Juan Hill.
Yes. Were those the Buffalo Soldiers that were sent there?
I believe they were.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So they fought not just on this land, but overseas as well. So Cuba has its freedom thanks to the black soldiers, the Buffalo Soldiers. And thank you all.
Marjorie, thank you so much for your call.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Right. Thank you all for what you do and have done for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. You know, Marjorie's talking about that. I mean, you're talking about what they did. They helped turn the tide in Italy during World War II. Mm-hmm. Mention that. Talk about that, if you will. Yeah.
I believe you're talking about the Battle of Santa Ana.
There's a whole. They did a lot of things. Yeah, they did quite a few things. Mm-hmm. There. African American soldiers have fought in every major conflict in which the United States has been involved, from the Revolutionary War on. And that's what folks need to realize, rather than trying. But they frequently served with distinction. We talked about the 54th Massachusetts Volunteer Infantry during the Civil War, the 9th and 10th U.S. Colored Cavalry Regiments during the Indian Wars, Spanish-American War, 369th Infantry Regiment during World War I, and they all established great fighting records.
Right, and that's and that's so important, Cliff, because like you mentioned about that movie showing is that young Americans often have to, they don't realize it, but they also often have to defend themselves as to, you know, how are you serving this country? Where is your contribution? Like Kennedy said, ask not what this country can do for you, but what you can do for this country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've done so much for this country, and that's often overlooked. People don't realize and recognize the contributions we've made to the fabric of this nation. The foundation of this nation was built on the back of slaves. And some of the most ardent fighters for the freedom of this country were African Americans, namely the Buffalo Soldiers.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yep. That's, and something, we'll talk about the in Italy, because in World War II, that was really a big deal. Let's go to our next caller. Rick, thank you for holding. You on WVR 1690, America's Heroes Group.
Hello, am I on?
Hi, yes, you are.
Yeah, this is Rick.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, congratulations on your upcoming retirement. And I wanted to add that it was the 24th Infantry of the Buffalo Soldiers that patrolled the national parks.
I'm sorry, they did what?
They patrolled the national parks.
Oh, the national parks, yeah.
Yeah, this is before they had park rangers and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, back in 1897, they were in Yosemite, and they were used to maintain peace and order and law-abiding conduct in Yellowstone.
That's interesting.
Yeah. The 24th Infantry.
24th.
Okay. Yes, sir. That's who it was. And they were like sincerely have been the ones who captured Geronimo.
That's
That's another fact that people just kind of overlooked and got thrown away with history. You look on TV at the media, you don't see the Buffalo Soldiers being the ones that snatched Geronimo.
Right, you don't even hardly ever see black African Americans as cowboys even in the West.
That's true.
They're completely wiped out of the Western history and U.S. history altogether in the movies. If you were a person from another country and came and just saw Hollywood movies, and that's all you knew was this Hollywood movies, you would think the entire West was white.
That's a good point.
You would think it was all white.
In fact, Sean, not only are you right, I was invited years ago now to a sociology meeting that was here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. It was national. And that was one of the things they did. One of these things was about film.
Mm.
You know, only about these phony films that
yeah.
believed all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny how the media, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of get things twisted and filters things so that they get their point across and they forget about us.
Rick, thank you so much for your wishes, but I won't be leaving your show, okay?
You will not?
No.
I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you.
I read something about you retiring.
Well, that this show I'm going to continue, and I'll be doing some other things, too.
Okay, good.
Okay, just keep listening.
Good. Oh, there's one other thing, too,
sure.
That I'd like to kind of bring up, if I can, mm-hmm. about the organization, the American Heroes Group.
Yes.
I heard of this for the first time. I think it was last week I was listening to you. Mm-hmm. I heard about this group of veterans. And I kind of got an idea. For doing some Booker T. Washington type activity instead of W.B. Du Bois. By that I mean capitalistic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Booker T.
Booker T. Yeah.
Booker T was on that economic training, and he was on that kind of tip. Du Bois that got us on this social thing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Equality and stuff like that. We kind of got off track with what Booker T was talking about in that Atlanta Compromise. That would have been a real good deal for us being trained for industry and preparing us to be capitalists and stuff like that. Okay? We kind of missed the boat on that one. But, hey, if there's a bunch of guys who want to get together and do some things that black folks don't normally do.
Good point, Rick. Thank
okay?
you.
Okay? Like get listed on the stock exchange.
Yeah.
How about us doing something like that?
Keep listening. Appreciate your call.
We are doing
okay.
it.
Okay, yep. Rick brings up some excellent points.
Right.
We have another caller, but we're going to have to take a break at the moment. Stay with us. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON, America's Heroes Group. Our number, 773-591-1690. We'll be back with more.
America, sweet.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, WVON host and honored veteran. Inviting you to listen every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. as I host America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power regarding the treatment of veterans, retired and active, discussing concerns for affordable housing, social services, Medicare, and all services geared toward veterans. America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power. Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, SEIDMAN, law.net.
are back. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group. And we are going to take a couple of more callers, and then we have some guests in our studio that you're going to really like to hear about. This is Black History Month, and you know what we have been talking about earlier, but we're going to have a couple of callers that we want to take. And let's go to Marjorie. Marjorie, thank you for holding. Go right ahead.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for taking my call again, because some programs don't allow for one to call back. And I was just asking the caller intake to give the information, but she allowed me to speak. Well, a woman named Cathy Williams actually disguised herself as a man and joined and became a Buffalo Soldier. She was born into slavery. She did legally join and work as a cook for the United States Army, but and she did some work with that, but then she secretly later on joined the Buffalo Soldiers.
That is great.
So it's documented.
That's history.
Now she didn't get a full pension. It was discovered that she was a woman. Mm-hmm. She served for only 2 years pretending to be a man, so there was some discrepancy. She didn't get pensions and things like that, but let it be known that it is on the records that Cathy Williams, she just joined in as William Cathy, was the only African-American woman that served as a Buffalo Soldier. Some women did
serve. Marjorie, that's great.
War.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. That's interesting. It certainly is. Let's go to Ed. Ed, thank you. You're on WVON, America's Heroes Group.
Good evening, Ms. Kelly.
Hey, Ed.
I'm aware of an Indian chief named Doublehead that was raining down in the around the southeastern area, and it just occurred to me that that perhaps he may have encountered some of Doublehead soldiers, and I wonder if there's any history that anyone has on that.
I didn't get the last part of what you said, Ed. Tell us that again.
I was aware of an Indian chief named Doublehead, who he was located down in the southeastern part of the United States, Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, I suppose.
Okay. Who were these people, Ed?
Are these
Buffalo soldiers or?
No. I'm wondering if there was Doublehead soldiers.
Okay. Yes. Well, our expert on that is not with us at the moment, so I'm sorry. I don't know that. Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. You're welcome. We're going to take one more call and then go to our guest here in the studio. Kirk. Hi, Kirk. Go right ahead.
You were talking about the Buffalo Soldiers
right.
at San Juan Hill.
Yeah.
They actually saved the Rough Riders in that battle. The Rough Riders were pinned down. And elements of the 10th and the 24th, I believe it was, actually saved them. And, in fact, even Master Sergeant Edward Baker was awarded the Medal of Honor for his service in that battle.
That's great.
And then when they came back, Teddy Roosevelt derided them and said that they didn't go any farther in battle than the white officer led them.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we, you know, the game never changes.
Some more good Black history, Kirk. Thank you so much. Appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay, and anchors away.
Okay, sir. Okay, right. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
People want to continue. That's great history. We are pleased to have in our studio two young ladies that I'm so pleased to have there. We have Private First Class Ashley Campbell, and she is an Illinois National Guardsman. I'm going to let PFC Campbell tell us a little bit about herself, and then we'll go to our other guest, and we'll tell them why they're here.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Thank you for having me on your show.
You're welcome. So good to have you here. Go right ahead. Tell us a little bit about yourself, PFC Campbell.
I am PFC Campbell, and currently I am still in the National Guard, and I decided to join the military with my sister, but the reason was for educational benefits, and for my grandparents were in the military. They're still alive today, so
they still are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow! Okay.
And so like I wanted to let them see us follow in their footsteps.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. What unit? Where are your grandparents? What service are they in?
They were in the actual army, so they fought in wars before.
Yeah, okay, that's great.
I know you're in the actual army too, though. When you say that, you're in the National Guard is the actual army.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
You can be called up just as easily to fight overseas.
Yeah, Sean is our expert on this, so he's
I meant
that's
like
right. You can go tomorrow. Yeah, particularly with our commander in chief, you have to go down there and help build that wall.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, now, you said you joined for education benefits. No, you had an interesting story. You told me you had a pact with your sister. Is that
yes.
Right? Okay.
So, me and my sister always decided that we wanted to join the National Guard, mm-hmm. but we didn't know like exactly when to do it. Mm-hmm. So, like, there was just one day we woke up in the morning and it was like, hey. Mom just signed us up with a recruiter, mm-hmm. and we should go in and see what do we have to do to get in.
Okay.
And it wasn't really much, so she decided. I went in first, mm-hmm. and then I told her what happened when I went in, and then she came in like literally a week after me and ended up going. She swore into the military before I did.
Okay,
so then. Yeah, I swore in like literally 10 days after her.
How long have you been in the military now?
I just hit my 1 year mark. I'm probably like 1 year and some months now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, how was basic training for you when you went away for that?
Okay, so basic training, to me, it was really fun. Like for my sister, it was different, mm-hmm. because she doesn't like being away from home. But I had fun. Okay. I had a lot of fun because it reminded me of like camp and mm-hmm. like just forming bonds with new people from different parts of the world.
Okay. And you went to, did your basic training at where?
I did my basic training in Fort Jackson.
Fort Jackson, okay. I've been there. All right. And now, was your unit all female, of course? Was it all female? I've been hearing that they're doing co-ed stuff or experimenting with co-ed basic training. Was yours all female?
No, my basic training was male and female.
Wow.
So we trained with the males.
Okay. And how did that go? Was there any competition? Did you feel like you had to prove yourself, serve next to a man?
Actually, yes, I felt like I had to because, you know, I felt like they were really taking it easy on the girls. But then when, you know, we had female drill sergeants as well. So, mm-hmm. like, they didn't take it easy on us at all.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we did, like, certain stuff, like, example, like, when we have, like, wall climbing and stuff like that to do, then, like, you know, it's easier for the guys to do it. But, like, me, I like to show out in front of the guys because I don't like them to think that I'm weak.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I had to prove myself to them because they were talking a lot of smack about the, about the females.
Gee, isn't that amazing?
And now this is a question I have for you and Sierra when Sierra introduces herself. How did you qualify when you did your rifle training? Mm-hmm. What was your qualification?
For my rifle training, I got
tell the truth.
I did good. It was out of 40.
Mm-hmm.
It was out of 40, but I did. I had got like 47 out of 40. I mean, no, I said 37 out of 40.
Wow.
Sorry.
So you're a sharpshooter. Almost an expert.
Yeah.
Wow. That's excellent. That's good. Yeah, that's good.
So you can take out somebody down the block.
Yeah.
What is
your MOS?
My MOS is 92 whiskey.
Okay.
So that's a water treatment specialist.
A water treatment specialist.
Yeah.
Okay.
We call ourselves water dogs.
Okay. That's something. That is something. Okay. Well, we know that as she's treating the water, she can kill folks who will try to.
Right. Well, the water's going to be safe, that's for sure. Poison that water.
That's exactly, Sean. I think that's great. Now we have a specialist, Sierra Shelby. How are you?
Hello, Mr. Kelly. I am great.
Great, great. So glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
Great, great. Tell us about yourself and your involvement in the military.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I am a specialist. I'm a 30-year-old specialist in the military. Okay. The Army was a reset for me. I separated from my husband. I graduated from school, and I was looking for something to do that was different, you know, and I wanted to use my hands. Oh. So I met up with a recruiter, and that was it. That was all it wrote. I signed up in July. I left out in October.
Wow.
And it's been amazing ever since. My whole thing with it is to continue my education. So I'm going back to school for my master's in counseling, and hopefully I'll be a counselor at a base. Mm. That's my goal, to get on base until I can get my own practice.
Yeah, you have a degree now.
Yes,
yeah,
I have a degree. I have a 4-year degree in education, which put me in a spot as a specialist in the Army. That is a really good rank to have, especially coming in. And I wasn't aware of this. Mm-hmm. It's a really big leadership role. Mm-hmm. You know, typically specialists have at least 10 to 16 years in. Mm-hmm. So for me to come in as a specialist, a lot was required from me that I didn't expect. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying my best to live up to expectations.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great that you want to do that.
Thank you.
And all this came, see what marriage can do for you? That's why she left and went to the Army.
I had to start over. I needed a whole new situation.
So you have no kids? I'm
no
assuming.
Children. Okay. No children.
And whatever, it's do it for you, because when you say how old you are, which we didn't ask,
you don't
look it at all.
No. But I want people to know that you can do it even later in
that's
age.
Wonderful.
You know what I'm saying? You got to 30. I think it's 38 nowadays. You can do it until you're 38. So if you're in good shape, go out and do it. It's never too late, mm-hmm. and that's why I give out my age. I don't look it.
No, you don't.
That's why true. I share that, because don't be intimidated by these babies. You know? We can still do it. We can push through. You know, most of my counterparts are 18, 19, 21.
Sure.
You know?
Right.
So I have to let people know we can do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, as Sean was asking her, do you have to go through basic training too?
Yes, sir.
Tell us about that.
Oh.
Where were you?
I was in Fort Jackson for basic, and of course, I was Mama Shelby. I was older than everybody. I wanted stuff situated a certain way, but I also had to be taught by everybody. That's what you have to, in the military, you have to be able to learn from anybody in any age group, because, like I said, I'm 30. My sergeants were 28, 26,
wow.
You know.
Clergy,
so I have to, you gotta be able to respect the rank opposed to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was... The most difficult part for me was at my age, and I had a sister, so I was used to being around females. Mm-hmm. So although we trained together as male and female, we lived separately.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the most challenging thing for me. Mm-hmm. I like stuff clean and certain ways, and it wasn't like that. I was in a midst of, like she said, a whole bunch of different people.
Mm-hmm.
They came from different places, and they were used to mom and dad picking up after them and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that was my only grief. Like, clean up behind yourself. It's not hard.
No, when I went to the military and went to Fort Jackson, it wasn't until AIT that men and women trained together.
Okay.
So now, do you see it as a benefit to have it co-ed in basic training? Did you see it as maybe, do you think it would have been better had you been with an all-female unit, or would it make a difference?
I think it was better. I think a lot of people thought like Ashley did. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I'm going to show you that women can do, if not what you're doing, better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a challenge, you know. That's how the world is made up of men and women, and you're mm-hmm. competing with men and women. So why not be in the midst of, you know, who you're competing against? So mm-hmm. I think it's a good thing that we're able to live together and then work together and then, you know.
So you're making me a converse. And me and Cliff get into this argument all the time about should women be in combat or not.
Yes.
And I'm more
of
an old school guy, and
us in the kitchen.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Like, I have no problem. I had the toughest female drill sergeant. Okay.
Yes.
Now, she was tough as nails. And
My first sergeant was a female.
Yeah. And one thing I noticed in Fort Jackson is that even as a female sergeant first class, she had to deal with just watching her go through the struggle she had to deal with as a female,
mm-hmm.
not getting respect from her co-drill sergeant. And mm-hmm. even her first sergeant oftentimes would step in and take her platoon and just dismiss her and take her platoon over, which I was a part of,
mm-hmm.
and just start leading us, even though the drill sergeant is right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just watching that obvious disrespect. So it's always wondering, is the military ready for true integration when it comes to males and females in combat.
See, this is what, as Sean just said, we've had this discussion
so many times.
I'm totally in favor of women in combat.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly.
Women will wipe you out.
Come on.
As I've always said, mess with an offspring. I don't care what any kind of female offspring. Any offspring, you mess with that offspring, the mother's going to come after you.
Yes. Yeah.
But no, women, the one thing that I was telling Sean, you all probably know this, but, the best thing you can do if you want a military career is to get a congressional appointment to one of the military academies.
Sir. Yes.
And, of course, West Point is the most prestigious.
Mm-hmm.
They got 4,200 cadets. Everybody wants to be the cadet captain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the racism, the sexism, and all.
Yeah.
The last person who was the cadet captain was an African American woman.
Because we all play.
Yep.
I believe it. Getting second thoughts. Now, as far as education benefits, now that's one of the reasons why I joined as well. You mm-hmm. mentioned education benefits. What are the benefits to joining the National Guard today? What kind of education benefits do you get? How do they work?
Okay, so I'll speak from my standpoint. Right now I'm doing a certificate program. I joined because I had student loans. I came in with a degree, so they are going to pay back my student loans for each year's service I do. So every year they pay back my student loans. They pay for me at my program. I get like a stipend for that. So there's a lot of money into it. Ashley's at a university, so she has a better understanding of the university and how that's paid.
Okay, so For me, I'm using my GI Bill and I think my post 9/11.
Okay.
And so I know with one of them, you cannot like pause college. You have to continue going for those years because if you don't, then it'll get taken away.
Okay.
So right now I'm at Chicago State University and I am still a freshman, but like second semester and,
Everything is paid.
Yeah, everything is paid for.
All your education, your tuition is all paid for.
As long as you're at a state school with us, because we're reserve, the active duty is different because you pay in, so you can go to any school.
Okay.
But for us, being National Guard and Reserve, you they pay it. You any state school, you have to go to a state school in order for the tuition is covered. Book stipends.
Great.
If you don't live on campus, if you're married and you don't live on campus, then you get housing. Everything is paid for as far as my education. I don't have to worry about anything, and I can continue to go to school. And I'm gonna be a student forever.
That's not included is like those extra fees, though. Like, so if you get like a fee from like the dorm, so they will not pay for that.
Right, room and board's not covered.
Yeah,
but you can use it for graduate studies. You can use it for undergraduate studies.
You're doing that now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going for a graduate study.
Vocational school, we can use it for that.
Yeah, I'm taking a certificate program. They don't pay it all, but they pay the majority of it, and I get a stipend each month for continuing my education.
And that's on top of your drill pay too, right?
Yeah.
It's not even counting drill. So there's a lot of money in it, and we really want to encourage our community, our age demographic, the 19 through 20, 21, 30s, just encourage people because there's a lot of opportunity in it. And you won't know unless you get into it or you go and talk to somebody about it. But there are so many incentives, you know, when you're a part of the military. So
let's take another call, and these ladies have been giving us some great information. Rick, you're on WVON 1690, America's Heroes Group. Rick, are you there? Hello, hello, hello. Rick. I guess Rick left us. Maybe he got the information he wanted. Or maybe he decided, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to do that. Those ladies will do a job of it. I thought. No, I guess he's not there, and I can't drop the call. Okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. See if you can drop it. Yeah, well, they'll do it.
When you went to the military, did you ever get that fear? Because one thing that I always got being a student and also being in the military was that, aren't you afraid to go to war? Are you gonna fight for this man's war? This ain't our war. This is their war. What are you doing in the military?
I'll let Ashley go first.
Because I get that a lot. Like especially with my age group, they're not really as.
This is PFC Campbell.
Oh, sorry.
No, I just want to let them know who was talking.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Go right ahead.
Yeah, with my age group, they're not really educated on what really happens when you join the military, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's the number one question I get. Like, why are you in the military? Aren't you scared to go to war? And I'm just like, that's like for active. But at the same time, you know, they did say if they call us once upon a time that we will have to go. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I know that I heard that that because of the MOS we have, like, we'll be doing something with our MOS. So right. It doesn't, if we get deployed, it doesn't mean that we will be fighting in a war. But if it happens, I mean.
Right, you're still trained to be a soldier.
Right, exactly. You're not just going to be out there on the front line not knowing what to do.
Right, because people don't realize that there's tons of different jobs in the military.
Exactly.
Everybody's not in infantry. Everybody's not in artillery. You have medics. You got cooks. You have guys that paint buildings. You have guys that are veterinarians.
You got all kinds of things.
Yeah, there's only musicians and things like that.
So, I mean.
Sure, there's only three combat units, you know, infantry, artillery, and armor.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, I'm ready to deploy, you know, but I'm at a different place in my life than a lot of people coming in. And I think it's good for you to deploy, you know, and you have to look at it. What God has for you is for you. And I honestly believe that. So if I was to go somewhere, I feel that I'd be covered, you know, but there is a risk. There is a chance that may happen. Right now, our unit, they're saying, is not a complete unit. So we're not deployable at this moment. But once we get ready, we'll be deployable. And as a National Guard member, we may have to go. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll all be ready for that challenge.
Exactly.
Because you trust your battles. You trust the person next to you. And that'll, you know, I think just trusting who I'm connected to, I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, if you listen to the news, there's a risk right here.
You might go to the border. We literally just saw an accident and, you know, a police chase right here.
Yeah,
so why
we
not,
saw that,
why not pay me?
Yeah.
Why not, you know? So, yeah, definitely.
That's great.
And both of you guys are work with water treatment, right?
Yes. Okay.
All right. Which is critical, especially in combat zones.
Oh, it is,
yes.
Yeah, that's very, very much so. In fact, we've discussed that before, problems in Nam with water.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, so we set up, we have several machines that we set up, and we put the water through and we purify it. Our training was 12 weeks. Basic typically is 12 to 14 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then our AIT, which is our advanced training, was 12 weeks as well, and we went in. You learn all the machines. You learn all the equipment. I've never been a chemistry person, but you learn how to do chemistry. It's really an exciting field.
Right. Very exciting.
Do you see yourself being able to take that skill and apply it to civilian life?
Yes,
you definitely could. The water company. You could at my level at an E4. You can definitely go in and be a manager at a water company.
Wow.
Now where I'm going in my life is not.
That's like an $8,000 a year job.
It's a very good job. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good job. You know, to get into, and you can take what you learned and transfer right on in. That's what a lot of jobs. There are so many, like you stated, so many opportunities that I just want our generation to understand that you don't have to be on the front line. You could be cooking. You could be doing anything in the military. It's an opportunity that's out there, and we need to just seek it. We need to really get in tune.
So that's my question then. So what brought you into the military? How did you see that opportunity? Why do you think other people don't see the opportunity?
We're turned away from uniforms, and that's
really?
Just where we are. Mm. Yes. Our generation, we don't like uniformed. We don't like uniformed people. We don't like the police.
I can see if they got stripes and so forth.
Yeah, we don't
you know,
like
if
uniform.
You're in prison. But
we don't. Like, we really don't. And I think that's what scares people, the stereotype of it.
Yeah, the stereotype of the government, too.
That's what it is. Okay. We're all lumped. Oh, you went away to the military. Oh, you're a police officer. We're all lumped.
Let me try to take. I tried to get Rick earlier, but I understand we can't. Rick, are you there? Nope. Rick's not there, as I tried to get him before. Nope, he's not there. This has been great. You ladies have really given us some great information. Sean, is there anything else you want to ask him?
I think they covered everything.
Well, they did. Yeah, they did.
I mean, we could go on for hours.
I got a lot of different questions,
but I mean,
I don't think
hit the bullet points.
I don't think I'll be going back to active duty, but I know. But I know I'm going to be protected.
Yes, sir.
I should call them because I got a comment from the Chicago Water Company wanting to know whether I wanted them to come in and put in whatever it is they put in. I think I trust them first.
Yeah, I would say so.
Well, you ladies have just been great. You really have. We appreciate you both.
We thank you for having us on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
Any questions regarding affordable housing, social services, wellness care, please feel free to call America's Heroes Group at 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wacker Drive, Suite 4250. Thank you for watching us live on Facebook. Make sure you hit the Facebook like button at the top of our Facebook page. Therefore, you stay connected and will receive future notifications regarding shows, events, information, resources regarding our veterans, armed forces, and their family members. We're so grateful to our partner, Ms. Dorothy Lavelle, and the Chicago Crusaders. Articles on veterans, armed forces, and their family members. It's online at www.chicagocrusaders.com. To subscribe to the Chicago Crusaders weekly column, Voices with the Governor of Talk Radio, Mr. Cliff Kelly, and America's Heroes Group, call the Chicago Crusader at 773-752-2500 or send an email to ads@chicagocrusaders.com to request a subscription. Thank you so much for listening to America's Heroes Group. Have a blessed weekend.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
Happy President's Day. Great.
We're going to take a quick picture?
Yeah. Great show, ladies. Great show. See, you weren't nervous. You had too much fun.
I'm the 39th Ward Republican Committeeman, and I'm voting for Dr. Willie Wilson for mayor because he understands the only...